We're holding in the middle of Chaf Zayin Amud Beis.
We learned yesterday, we said that there's Machlokas Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. We had cases as follows. You have a case where you wind up with two sisters, you have two Yavamas who are sisters. There's only one Yavam, so we're saying both of them are going to be also to him because each one is this kuka, but also achoy skukasa. And we say you can't do Yavam with achoy skukasa, so necessarily there's going to have to be chalitza. Here what you have is, the wrinkle is, that you have afterwards one of these Yavamas dies before he has a chance to do chalitza with either of them. So we said there's two possibilities. One is that the original one, who was Naflo Yivum, who became available for Yivum,
died before
the other. Now, when she was originally Naflo Yivum, when her husband died, there wouldn't have been a problem because her sister was still married at the time. There wouldn't have been an issue of Achoy Tzkukase. She's the only one who has a Zika. So now we have that she was Mutter. Then when her sister is Naflo Yivum, the one who was married, her sister who was married to another one of the brothers, then that's when she becomes Osir, because Achoy Tzkukasei. Now that her sister dies, she's going back to her original Heter. That we said both Rav and Rabbi Yochanan agree, there's no problem with that. On the other hand, then we have the case the other way around. What about the second sister, the one where when she was Nafol Yibum, when her requirement for Yibum came about, when her husband died, she was already Osir. She is immediately Osir, because she has a sister alive at that time who has yet to do Yibum or Chalitza. So therefore, she's Achoy Tzkukase. Now we're saying, if her sister dies, is she, the second sister, going to be allowed to do Yibum with the remaining brother? That was the Machloikas Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. After the first one dies. Yes. So that's what we said was the Machloikas Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. We said Rav would say either way she's Mutter, and so either one of them, as long as the sister is gone, then the remaining sister is Mutter, doesn't matter which one is which. And Rabbi Yochanan said no. It would only work if she was originally Mutter, then became Osir, and now she's Mutter again. That's where we're holding. We mentioned one point that Rav does agree if to begin with she had been Osir as something Daraisa rather than Darabanan, namely, if the third brother had already been married to one of their sisters, to a third sister, so he had three brothers married to three sisters, so that at the time when either of his brother's wives is Naflo Yibum, right at that point they're also to him as a Chayisishtoi, then yes, even if his wife later on dies, they're not going to become Mutter again. Because they were also Midaraisa at the time that they were Naflo Yibum.
He should have made Yibum.
No, because he's married to one of their sisters.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's married to one of their sisters. So it's not even a chos with the kukase. There it's a chos ishta. Yeah. So, but if it's the rabbanon, that's when we have this machlokes. That's what we're holding. We're holding about 10 lines from the bottom of Chaf Zayin Amud Beis. The line begins Eisvei. Eisvei Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina lo Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina asks from the following from the Mishnah, actually the Mishnah at the beginning of our perek on Rabbi Yochanan. We learned Abba Achin, you have four brothers, Beis Mehen Nasurin Beis Achoyes. Of these four brothers, two of them are married to two sisters. The other two, it doesn't matter for our purposes whether they're married or not. Umeisra Nasurin Es Achoyes, the ones who are married to the sisters both die. Harei Lachotus V'Leidus Yabmas. We said that both of these women have to do Chalitza, not Yibum, because we said that you have the problem, each of them is a Chos Kukase. The question is, Vamai, why should we say that both of them are Osir? Leiku Chad Minayu. Let one of the remaining brothers, Levi, let's say, get up. Let him go do chalitza with the second one. We're assuming that it's not that the two brothers died at the same time. We're assuming it was one after the other. So after Reuben's wife died, let Levi go ahead and do chalitza with her.
Which is one of the two brothers available?
Reuben and Shimon are the original brothers who died.
Right.
Levi and Yehuda are the ones who are available.
Right.
So no, let's say actually, so let's say rather like this. No, we're not talking about, obviously, if he did chalitza at the beginning, there wouldn't be an issue. We're talking about, fine, Reuben died, then Shimon died. At the time Reuben died, his wife is not yet, his wife, there's no problem with her yet. There's no achos skukase, there's no other skuka other than her. So let at that point, so let's say then, so fine, afterwards Shimon dies, now at this point you have two women who are waiting for chalitza Yibum, fine, let him do chalitza with the second one, with Shimon's wife, then very well, the first one, Reuben's wife, should be, she was originally Mutter, before Shimon ever died, then she became Osir when Shimon died, now she's Mutter again, as soon as you do chalitza, she's back to her original Heter. Now, the truth is that most... That's the question on Rabbi Yochanan. Now, the truth is, Mephoshim point out, I mean, the same question could really be asked on Rav as well.
Why is it a question on Rav?
On Rav, it would be even more of a question, because Rav agrees that if she was also, then became mutter, and then became also again, that she's fine. Rabbi Yochanan also agrees to that. Rabbi Yochanan says the machlokes between them is specifically the case where originally she was also midrabbanim, the second one, and then her sister, the first one who was nafla liyivum, died. So really, the question from the Mishnah is on both Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, it would seem.
The Mishnah is saying
both of these women need chalitza. Whereas according to Rav or according to Rabbi Yochanan, it should come out that if you do chalitza with the second one, Shimon's wife, then you should be allowed to do even yibum with Reuben's wife.
According to the Mishnah, you need two chalitza.
Both, you need two chalitza. Each of them needs, well, there's no question each of these women needs something because each of them is from a different bias. There's no question about that. The issue is we're saying, the Mishnah is saying each of them is a chos kukasa and therefore you can't do yibum with either of them. Right. But why? Once you do chalitza with one of them, then, once you do chalitza with one of them, she's out of the picture. The other one should go back to being mutter, and that should be that.
And therefore, she should have either yibum or...
So therefore, she should be able to do yibum if she wanted. So that's the Mishnah says that no. So that's the question. So we're asking the question on Rabbi Yochanan. Really, the question could be asked on Rav as well. The reason we're not asking it on Rav is either because one possibility is we say in a number of places in Shas we say Rav Tana Hu Kolik, that Rav is a Tana, has the status of a Tana, he's entitled to argue with Tanoim, so therefore it's not necessarily such a question on him. Or Rabbi Yochanan is not. Rabbi Yochanan is a full fledged Amora. That's one possibility. Another possibility, and Tosfos discusses it over here, is since we said before that Rav said that a chalitza psula, you have to go around to all the brothers and have them do chalitza, then, yeah, in this case over here, you're going to have, each of them is going to end up having to do chalitza with her. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan doesn't agree with that, may not agree with that concept.
He says
you can do one chalitza. We said before that Shmuel held that you do chalitza, even though it's a chalitza psula, given that there's no choice, all of the chalitzas that are going to be done are a chalitza psula. Because at the beginning over here, when you start out, all of them are chaser. They're all achos kukasa. So you have the same problem no matter which one you do it with. And Shmuel said in that case, all you have to do is one chalitza for each of the women. Amalei, so Rabbi Yochanan tells him, you know what, you're right. Achoyas en yadea mishnan. I don't know which Tana would say what it says in our Mishnah. In other words, Rabbi Yochanan can't argue with the Mishnah, but he's saying there must be a mistake in the Mishnah. It's not possible... That it's not possible that the Mishnah could be saying that both of them have to do chalitza and there's no way that one of them could do yibum. According to either way you look at it, there should be a way that one of them can do yibum. So the question is why? And then now the Gemara is going to go through for the next little bit until the two dots in the middle of Chasam and Aleph. The Gemara is going to try various possibilities and see how we could find for the Mishnah without having to say that there's a mistake in it. So we start with Velemale my nami dikatani chalitzas chada. Why? Maybe when the Mishnah says chaltzais doesn't mean they plural, both women have to do chalitza. Maybe it means one out of the two of them has to do chalitza. Then so you can't chaltzais katani. It says clearly in the plural that it means both of them have to do chalitza. Okay, Velemale my chaltzas d'alma. Why don't you say, like we said yesterday, that we had yesterday a case with where we said according to Shmuel, we wanted to say according to Shmuel when we said that tsar rois, we didn't mean two specific tsaris in this case, we just meant in general in the world, in the various cases throughout history where such things have happened, that tsar rois are going to have chalitza. Say the same thing over here. It's a generic statement. Chol tsois, there are going to be women in such cases who have to do chalitza, but not both of them. The answer is you can't. Hare Elu Katani, because the Mishnah specifically says, Hare Elu, behold, these, the specific ones that we mention in the Mishnah, have to do chalitza, not some other people. Okay, V'leima d'cholot l'rishoyne b'resha. Why don't we answer that the case is that he did chalitza with the first one first, which then, Taka Rabbi Yochanan would say, again, not Rav. The Mishnah would still be difficult to understand according to Rav, but according to Rabbi Yochanan, you could explain very simply. The Mishnah is talking about where you originally did chalitza with the first one, the one who was first nafla liyibum, which then, yes, the second one is indeed aser because there was never a time when she was nafla liyibum, she was already aser, and Rabbi Yochanan had said, and in that case, you can't do yibum with her. If you did chalitza to the second one first, then yes, Rabbi Yochanan would say you could do yibum with the first one.
Because the first one becomes
because the first one was mutter, and then aser, and then chazer v'hoter, yeah. But if you're saying that, why don't you say that the Mishnah is talking about that you did chalitza with the first one first, and that's the reason for that, and that's the reason why you end up having to do chalitza with the second one. The answer is you can't. Chalitza sachatchila katani, because the Mishnah says chalitza. There is no other way to do it. Meaning, in other words, that both of them have to do chalitza. If the Mishnah had meant that it depends on the order, then the Mishnah should have said, make sure you do chalitza with the second one, and then you'll be able to do yivum with the first one. The way the Mishnah is phrased, chalitzas, implies there's no other choice but to do chalitza with both of them. Okay, but that doesn't go according to Rabbi Yechanan. It doesn't go according to Rav either, we said. But at least according to Rav, either Rav has the right to argue with the Mishnah, or he would say that you have an issue of chalitza psula here, that you have to go around to all the brothers, but Rabbi Yechanan, yeah. Okay, Lamele, why doesn't he tell when Rabbi Yossi ben Chanina, going back to when he's asking Rabbi Yochanan, how does this Mishnah fit with your opinion? Why does, and Rabbi Yochanan is telling him, I don't know who said this Mishnah, meaning I can't accept that this Mishnah is correct. Lamele, let Rabbi Yochanan tell Rabbi Yossi ben Chanina the following. Let him answer to him, here's how you understand the Mishnah. The reason why the Mishnah is telling you both of them have to do Chalitza, Gzeira, Dilma Kadr Mechalat L'Rashayna Bereisha. It's true. Technically, you would be able to do chalitza with the second one, and then the first one will become mutter for yibum. We don't want to allow that, maybe, because it's exeter. You might get mixed up and do the chalitzas in the wrong order. And if you do chalitza with the first one first, you can't do yibum with the second one, according to Rabbi Yechanan. So maybe that's why. Maybe it's only exeter. And so it's v'loy misyabmes katani. Yes, but the Mishnah uses the word v'loy misyabmes, which means there is no possibility of yibum. Deleka din yibum hachaklal, which implies there's no possibility of yibum here at all. If it were if he had done chalitza with the second one, technically there would be a din of yibum with the first one. He could do the din of yibum with the first one with Reuben's wife. The chachamim won't allow him to. Fine, but you can't call that v'loy misyabmos. You could say chalitza, it's okay, but to say v'loy misyabmos implies there's no possibility even of yibum here in the first place.
And
according to Rabbi Yochanan, there should be. If he does with the second one,
he could do yibum with the first one, consequently.
Right. Yeah.
Not according to Rav.
No, according to Rav, even more so. According to Rav, it would be the other way around also. According to Rav, even if the first one died, you'd be allowed to do yibum with the second one. Again, we're going back and forth in Rav Yochanan over here. We're not really dealing with Rav's opinion so much, because with Rav there can be other wrinkles, but yeah. Okay, v'lemalei, gzeira shemi yomus, why don't we try another tack? Maybe the reason why the Mishnah is saying that both of them need chalitza is because, like we said in the Gemara a couple of days ago, right after the Mishnah, we said we make a gzeira because the other brother might die, but also levatal mitzvah yibum, and we said you're not allowed to explicitly do something which will prevent yibum from happening. Meaning, again, we said in that case, what happens, Levi, for example, goes and does yibum with one of them, and now his brother dies, the remaining woman, Shimon's wife, nothing's going to be able to be done with her, neither yibum nor chalitza. You're not allowed to do something which will explicitly be mevatel mitzvah yibumin. Maybe therefore we say that he should do chalitza, and then that way, even if his brother dies, he can always do chalitza with the other one as well. The answer is Rabbi Yechanan lemisa lechayish. Rabbi Yechanan is not concerned about the possibility that one of the brothers might die. So therefore, he can't say that's the reason for the Mishnah.
To say in case she's going to.
So actually, Mefoshim point out. Tosfos actually pointed out a couple of days ago when we find a Mishnah in Yuma that says that there's a possibility somebody might die. Remember, we learned in Yuma that Rabbi Yehuda had mentioned over there that you prepare an extra wife for the Kohen Gadol in case his wife dies and Yom Kippur. Okay, the Chum said in the Dover safe, not because they're not so concerned with Mitzvah, but because they say, if you're going to go like that, then you can go endlessly like that. So we see that there is a chashash for Mitzvah. How can Rabbi Yochanan disagree with that?
Well,
and so they answer. No, but they're talking about the Kohen Gadol's wife, but it's still the same principle. Why aren't we worried that one of the brothers might die over here? And the answer is because over there you're not. Over there, by being choshish lemisah, you're not preventing anything from happening. You're saying you have to set up an extra wife for him, or according to the Tanakhama, you don't need to, because they're in the Dover Seif. Fine, but you're not preventing anything from happening. Here, if we're going to say that we're choshish lemisah, and on that grounds we're going to say that therefore you're going to prevent him from doing yibum and shunt him over to doing chalitza, which is less preferable than yibum, Rabbi Yechanan is saying you're not going to do that.
You're preventing
the actual mitzvah of yibum from happening, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. How about another possibility? Why don't we say, why doesn't Rabbi Yochanan answer that our Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Lazar? to Omar, which Rabbi Loza says we're going to have later on, and we're going to have later on Daf Memalef in the next parak. Kiven sha'amda all of sha'achas be'itzur nesar all of elamis. Once a yavama is also for even a short while to a yavam, then she remains also forever. In other words, Rabbi Loza disagrees with this whole concept that we were saying that you can have she can be mutter and then also and then mutter again. Rabbi Loza says no. That if she becomes osir, then that's it. From then on, the isir stays.
Regardless
of what happens afterwards. Now, it's not so simple, actually. Later on, when we get to that sugya, and when we get to another related sugya later on in a couple of months from now, the Gemara is going to discuss there's actually a couple of different possible ways of understanding Rabbi Lazar's opinion itself. But here, the Gemara is going according to the possibility that Rabbi Lazar means just that. That once she's also a little bit, then she's also forever.
So
say that our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Lazar. What do you mean, any day Mishnah? Okay, you don't want to say the halacha is like our Mishnah, fine, but at least you're saying I don't even know of any Tana who could possibly hold this way. There is a Tana who holds that way, Rabbi Lazar.
But he says, Rabbi Lazar, so that if she's also once, she's also forever.
Which means, therefore, that in these cases that we talked about, so in this case, the first woman was not Lola Yivum, she was Mutter at that time. Then her sister comes along because her husband died, and now both of them are Osir. Then her sister dies, according to the Chachamim, she returns to her heter. That's what Rav and Rabbi Yechanan were saying all this
first
time.
The first sister
stays alive.
The second sister dies.
According to Rav and Rabbi Yechanan, we were saying up until now that for the first sister is Mutter. According to Rabbi Lazar, because that's according to the Chachamim, according to Rabbi Lazar, we're saying that no. Once she was Osir for even a short time, because her sister came along, then she remains Osir forever. So then, fine, our Mishnah is going like that. That's what we're saying. Both of them need chalitza. The answer is, midisefer, Rabbi Lazar, reisha lav Rabbi Lazar. Since we see that the second part of our Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Lazar, necessarily the first part cannot be. Namely, our Mishnah had started by mentioning the case of the four brothers and the two sisters. We said that chalitzas v'legnas yatmos, and even b'dievet, if they get married, we force them to divorce. Then, all of a sudden, Rabbi Lazar comes in and says, you should know there's actually a machlokas on this, the shama b'tilo. On this, whether they're allowed to stay married. Where we said, Rabbi Lazar comes in and says you should know, but Shammai actually says you're allowed to stay married, but Silo says not. That implies that the previous part of the Mishnah is not according to Rabbi Lazar. It's according to another Tana. Okay, another possibility. Even name why doesn't Rabbi Yechanan answer that our Mishnah, you're assuming all this time that you're talking about that Reuven died and later on Shimon died, so there was a time when Reuven's wife was Mutter for Yivum and then there was a time she became Osir. Why don't you answer that the Mishnah could be talking about a case where both of them died simultaneously? And then, we had in the previous parak, we brought the opinion of Rabbi Yosi Aglili, which is Efshel Tzamtzim, that if you have two things that appear to have happened at the same time, then Rabbi Yosi Aglili is saying, fine, we can assume they happen at the same time. As opposed to the Chachamim would say, Efshel Tzamtzim, that no, all it means is you may not have fine enough timepieces or whatever to be able to tell when one thing happened versus another, but necessarily one of them had to have happened first. We had that case of the Bukhurim. So the same thing over here. According to Rabbi Yitzhak, really, yes, if Reuven and Shimon's death certificates are signed at the same time, then yeah, we have to assume that we can assume they died at the same time. And then in that case, we would say neither of them had a shach heter, because both of them became also at the same time. The answer is, lo yisosam lantana k'Rabbi Yitzhak, really. The Tana is not going to say that we're not going to have a stam Mishnah like Rabbi Yitzhak, really, because the fact is the halacha is not like him. The halacha is like the Chachamim, Yefshel Tzamtzim. That just because two things appear to have happened at the same moment, it doesn't mean they literally happened at the same moment. One of them happened a nanosecond before the other. You can't tell. Fine, that means you have to treat it as a something, but you can't say. But it still is different. So yes, there would have been a moment when one of them was Osir and then became Mutter.
Oh, it's not like Rabbi Yitzhak.
So we can't say that Rabbi Yitzhak really. No, so we can't say that Rabbi Yitzhak really. Yeah. Okay, yet another possibility. Fine, why don't we say that the case is, in our Mishnah, we don't know which one became a Yavama first. We don't know which one became an Almana first. Fine, like the Chachamim, Efshel Tzamtzim, one of them necessarily died first. We don't know which one. So then, therefore, there's no choice but to tell them to do Chalitza, to do Chalitza for both. Because you don't know which one you can do Yibum with. The answer is, Ihachi, if so, fine, that would work, but then what, But ihachi, if so, what do you mean? Hainu dekatani, kodmu v'kansu yetziu. Then why does the Mishnah continue that even if these brothers went ahead and married these women, we still force them to divorce them? Why? If it's only a suffix. We can understand that fine. The first one who marries one of these women.
Chachamim want them to divorce, yes.
That's what we're saying.
We're saying that.
Yeah,
that's right.
So, Bishleim Rishayna, I can understand Rishayna, actually, Rabbi Sabach says, I can understand the first one who marries Amrin and Leiman Shayalach. We can tell him, you know what, go divorce your wife. Who said you had a right to marry her? You might have married Achos Kukosai. Ela Shnia, Omar, but why? What's the second? The second one at least shouldn't be forced to divorce. Omar, let him say, Chavroi Shnia Yivim, Anor Deshreinim Yavim. Yes, my friend, meaning my brother, married the second one, which he wasn't supposed to do. Fine, he should have to divorce her. How do you know that the one I married is not the first one who would be mutter to me, according to both Rav and Rabbi Yechonah? Well, that's the point, in other words. So why, we said before, we had a few days ago, the case where we had the case where it's a matter of a suffix. We have the case where one woman is suffix mekudeshes to two men, two women are suffix mekudeshes to two men, etc. We have all those cases over there, and we said in a number of those cases that b'di'eved, well, once the proper chalitzas and whatnot have been done, b'di'eved will allow the other brothers to stay married to the women according to the various cases we have there in the Mishnah and Chav Gimel.
Even if we don't know for sure who was husband,
because b'di'eved, since they married them, and since it's only a matter of a suffix, we're not going to force them to divorce. By the same token over here, Nela, they shouldn't marry them to begin with. B'di'eved, just because of the suffix, how can we force them to divorce? Well, the whole thing is midrabban, fine, but no, if it was a vaday, there's no question we'd still force them. We can still force them to divorce on the basis of a midrabban, but not when it's only a suffix. That is why Rabbi Yechanan, ultimately, after we've gone through all the different possibilities and shot them all down, Rabbi Yechanan has no choice to say, I can't possibly understand how the Mishnah could be saying what it's saying. Now, one thing is, actually, we would be able to answer the Mishnah if we said that Rabbi Yechanan agreed with Rav's point about Chalitza Psula having to go around to all the brothers. If Rabbi Yechanan agreed with Rav's position that Chalitza Psula, that all the brothers have to give Chalitza, and once they give Chalitza, then it's also for them to marry the Yevamis, then you could answer the Mishnah very neatly. Therefore, Tosfos says, because of that, that proves Rabbi Yechanan disagrees with Rav. He obviously agrees with Shmuel that Chalitza Psula you do not have to circulate around among all the brothers. And therefore, even though normally we say in matters of Isser V'Heter, usually when we have Rav versus Shmuel, usually the halacha is like Rav, in this case, evidently, since Rabbi Yechanan agrees with Shmuel, then we would go like Shmuel. Not everybody agrees to that. Other Rishonim say not necessarily. There could be other ways you could understand Rabbi Yechanan's opinion. And also, just because you have Rabbi Yechanan on Shmuel's side doesn't necessarily mean the halacha is like him. The halacha may well still be like Rav. In Shulchan Aruch it brings that preferably if you have a chalitz of psula, you should have all the brothers do the chalitz.
Wouldn't Rabbi Yechanan maybe argue that in the case of suffix, would allow them?
No, because the Mishnah clearly says that he wouldn't. The Mishnah clearly says that you don't allow him to stay married, even b'di'evin.
Even b'di'evin.
Yeah. So it can't be a matter of a suffix. It has to be a matter of a vaday. Now, well, let's continue. Let's consider. We had another. Our Mishnah. We're still trying to figure out, right? Yeah. But now we have another question. We were saying that according to both Rav and Rabbi Yechanan, that a woman who was mutter, then usher, then mutter again, is allowed to do yibum. That was the first woman over here. So now, according to Rav also. According to Rav,
what was the difference again between
the difference between them was, what if she wasn't mutter to begin with? If she was also at the time of Nefila, namely the second sister, who was also at the time of Nefila, but then her sister, which is the one who's making her also, dies, her the sister who was married, whose husband died first, are we allowed to do Yibum with her then? Rav said yes, Rabbi Yechanan said no.
At the time of the
Nefila, she was also Midrabanan, right?
Right.
If she was also Midrabanan, everybody would agree she's also, but if she's also Midrabanan, that's the Machlokas, yeah. So now, let's consider. Our Mishnah had continued. We said that of the two sisters, if one of them is an erva to one of the brothers, for example, we said she's his mother-in-law, then we said he's also to her, obviously, because she's his mother-in-law. He's mutter and her sister. Then there's no issue of achos kukosa, because his mother-in-law is not zakuf to him at all. She's completely out of the picture. Basheni, also Bashan, whereas we said the second brother is also to do Yibum with either of them, because he has the problem of Achot Kukasai, because both of them have an equal zikah to him. Neither of them is an erva of his. Now, What is this relevant to us? At this point in the question, we're assuming that the case is that, for example, the mother-in-law is the first one who became subject to Yivum.
That her husband died.
So now we have to consider, why would we say that the other one is also in both of them? Let her son-in-law, the first surviving brother, Levi, who's the son-in-law of Reuven's wife, let him go do Yibum with the one who's not his mother-in-law, the one who he's mother to, which we said there's no problem because he's not a chosku kasei. Now we have a perfect example. This first woman, the mother-in-law, was originally mutter. Then she became aser when her sister's husband died. Then she became mutter again when her sister did yibum with Levi. So now we have the perfect case of a hutra of a natra of a chazer of a hutra. Why are we saying that the second brother is not allowed to do yibum with either of them? So the Papa says, you're right. The Mishnah necessarily would have to be talking about where the non-mother-in-law became a yivama, where there's nafla the yivum first. So here's the case. You have that. You have four brothers. What's important for our purpose is that of the two of them, Reuven is married to Rachel. Rachel is also Levi's mother-in-law. She was previously married to somebody else, and now
married to Rachel.
Reuven is married to Rachel, and Rachel is Levi's mother-in-law.
Okay.
Which makes it now that And Shimon is married to Leah.
Your brothers married one to the son, one to the daughter, and one to the mother.
No. Levi is married to Rivka, but that's not really relevant for our purpose.
And his brother is married to.
Well, it is relevant only because that makes Rachel his mother-in-law. It would be the same thing if before anything else happened, if Rivka died. We said according to the Chachamim anyway that we had a machlokes Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim on this, but anyway that Rachel would still stay also to him.
Right.
Now Reuven dies. Now we're saying there's two women. Reuven dies. There's one woman, Rachel, who has a zikah to two brothers. The thing is, she doesn't have a zikah to Levi because she's
mother-in-law.
She doesn't have a zikah to Levi because she's his mother-in-law. She only has a zikah.
In Hebrew, she's in a.
She also doesn't have a zikah to Shimon,
right.
because she's his wife's sister.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only one she could possibly be doing yibum or chalitza with is Yehuda. Now at that point, if Shimon dies, then now you have two women who have two yibamim, but one of these women is also to one. And mutter to the other, and the other woman is mutter to either one of them. That's
one
what we said. Rachel is also to Levi.
To Levi.
Leah is mutter to either of them.
Right, because she's from. Because
she's Shimon's wife. She's Shimon's wife. She's Levi's mother-in-law's sister. But big deal, your mother-in-law's sister is not an Erva, not even a Shnia.
Right.
So therefore, what we're saying is that therefore, what Mishnah had told us is that Levi and Rachel don't have a zikah at all because she's his mother-in-law.
Right.
Therefore, Levi is allowed to do yibum with Leah because there's no issue of achos zikukah. So there's no sister for her to be. She herself is the only zikukah to him.
Right.
Whereas Yehuda is not going to be able to do yibum with either one
because
each one is achos zikukah because they both have an equal zikah to him.
Right.
The question is, once Levi does yibum with Leah, which gets her out of the picture, why don't we say at that point Yehuda should be able to do yibum with Rachel? Because now she was mutter originally when Reuven died. Then she became aser when Shimon died. Now she's mutter again after Leah is taken out of the picture. And yet we see that not. So the Papa says, you're right. Necessarily, you would have to be talking about when is the Mishnah saying that the second brother is also to do Yibum with either one of them would have to be if Leah's husband died first. If Shimon died first and then Reuven. So yes, when Shimon... So let's review the case then. If Shimon died first, Leah has an equal zikah to either Levi or Yehuda. because she has an equal zika to either one of them. Later on, Reuven dies, which makes Rachel available.
Right.
Now again, Rachel is not available to Levi. There's no zika there.
Right.
But each one of them is also achoy skukasei, because Leah is the skuka. So to each one of them, Rachel is the sister of the skuka.
So fine.
The Mishnah will tell us then Levi can still do Yibum with Leah, because as far as he's concerned, Rachel's not in the picture since she's his mother-in-law. But there's no way we're going to be able to allow Yehuda, even after we get Leah out of the picture, when Rachel became available, when Rachel was Nafla the Yibum, it was the Issur to begin with.
Because
Leah was around, and she was Achoy Tzukoseh, according to Rabbi Yechanan, and that makes her Issur. And that's why so the Mishnah fits well with what Rabbi Yechanan is saying. The Mishnah said Rabbi Lazar said that actually this point about what happens if Bidyevet they go and marry the sisters. We said that Bishamai had said they can stay married. Bitzilah said they have to get divorced. Tanya, Rabbi Lazar Omer, Bishamai Rikaimu, Bitzilah Omer Yitzhu. That is what Rabbi Lazar says. Reb Shimon Omer Rikaimu. Reb Shimon says no, they're allowed to stay married, which is the opposite of the Tanakhama from our Mishnah, which said that they have to get divorced. Abishol says that actually Bitzilul are the ones who are being made over here. Exactly the opposite of what Rabbi Lazar said. Bitzilul are the ones who are saying they have to get divorced, and Bitzilul is saying Bidyevet will allow them to stay married.
That's according to
Abishol. So the question is, Reb Shimon Kaman, who is Reb Shimon going like? Iki Bitzilul and Rabbi Lazar. If he's going like Bitzilul, Then he's saying exactly the same thing as Rabbi Lazar says. Rabbi Lazar is saying that Bishamai says he can stay married, and Rabbi Shimon says, I also agree with that. If he wants to go like Bishilul, then he's saying the same as Abishol. What is Rabbi Shimon adding, basically? Rabbi Shimon himself is after Bishamai Bishilul. He has to be picking a side. Whichever side he's picking, he's picking a side. It's already been established. It's a machlok. The answer is Lenechaku Bishamai Bishilul B'davar Zeh. Reb Shimon would say there was actually no machlokes Bishamai Bishilul about this point in the first place. Which means, in other words, so actually what we have is a four-way machlokes. We have the Tanakama of our Mishnah, who had said also there's no machlokes. Everybody agrees they have to divorce, even B'di'evet. Conversely, we have Reb Shimon, who says, I also say there was no machlokes, but the other way around, both of them are saying you're allowed to stay married. And then we have Rabbi Lazar and Abishol, who are saying there was actually a machlokas b'shamah b'filul about it. They just disagree which one had the lenient position and which one had the strict position. But it's a four-way machlokas then. The Mishnah said hoita achas mehem b'chulah. The Mishnah had talked about the case where one of them is what do we say? One of them was usher to one, and the other one of them of the two women, we just said the case. One of them is an isser erva to one of the brothers and is mutter to the other, and the other one is not. That was the case with the mother-in-law over here. So we said the one who has the erva, whether the one who one of them is an erva to is allowed to marry her sister, is allowed to be given with her sister. The one who neither of them are ervas to, then both of them are usher. We said. The question is hotanein chavazimna. Didn't we already have this before? We had in the previous parak, Achoisik Shiyivim to Echelet the same as Yabemis. We said that if you have a sister, we have the sister of an Erva, who is also her sister-in-law, can either do Chalitz or Yibum. So we said already that case. We have the case, in other words, if you have that the two women who are waiting for Chalitz or Yibum are your mother-in-law and her sister, let's say, or some other relative and her sister, that you're allowed to do Chalitz or Yibum with the sister because the mother-in-law is out of the picture.
Okay.
This is our case over here, exactly. What is our Mishnah adding? What is our Mishnah adding? The answer is Tzricha. We need our Mishnah to be telling us something. The Iyash Me'inin Hasam, because if we only said it over there, we would say, you know why it's allowed? Mishum Delekala Migza Mishum Sheni, because you don't have a second brother in the picture to make a Zera on. You have one brother who has two women that he has to do Chalitza or Yibum with, and we're saying that there's no possibility for confusion. He obviously can't do Yibum with the Erva, so therefore there's no question he can do Yibum with her sister. Abel Hacha the Ikal Migzim is from Sheni. Here you're talking about the two brothers.
The preceding case.
In the previous parent. In the previous parent. In our perek, we're talking about the two brothers involved, there's Levi and Yehuda.
Right.
So therefore, the ikkel amigzum is shor sheni. Maybe we should say exera. What's going to happen if we allow Levi, the one whose mother-in-law was one of the sisters, to do yibum with her sister, who is no relation of his? What happens if Yehuda thinks, well, you know what, if my brother can do Yibum with one of my brother's wives, obviously I can also. And he can't because Midrabanan, there's the Achavitz Kukase problem. So you would think maybe you should make a Gzera on Levi not to do Yibum either because his brother might misled. So his brother shouldn't be misled. Amaloy, so you might have thought not. Therefore, we need our Mishnah. And conversely, you might have thought that we don't allow Levi to do Yibum with the sister.
Right. Yeah. Because of the Gzera.
That's the chiddush that we don't make such a gzera. The iash me'in and hacha.
It's a gzera on a gzera, really.
Not so the gzera on a gzera. You could argue that it's all part of one gzera, but whatever. The Mishnah is informing us that you don't have to worry about that. The iash me'in and hacha. On the other hand, if we were told over here that it's allowed, then we would say mishum de ikasheni to come mochach. On the contrary, here you have, in a way, things are better because you see that only one of them is doing yibum and the other one is having to do chalitza, that shows us that there is this issue of achoy skukosei. Aval hasam delakasheni. On the contrary, there's only one brother. People might not realize. You know why this guy is doing yibum? Because there's no achoy skukosei. Because his mother-in-law is not zakuk to him. People might see over here, you know what, you have two sisters who on the face of it, both of them are waiting for Yibum, and yet you're saying he can marry one of them. So obviously there's no problem. Achoy skukase. Amaloy, so you might have thought not. So therefore we need both Mishnayos. We need the separate cases where there's one person doing Yibum and when there's two people doing Yibum. Then the Mishnah continued, Isur Mitzvah. We said that if the women are Aser, or one of the women is Aser, we said the Mishnah had said if the women or one of the women are also by Isur Mitzvah or Isur Kedusha, Isur Mitzvah being that one of them is Shnius, or Isur Kedusha, we said that one of them is Mamzeres or Grusha or what have you. Then we said that the Chalitzas V'leim Isya Bemes. And the question is, Hanami Tanena, we said that in the previous parak also. Isur Mitzvah, Isur Kedusha, Chalitzas V'leim Isya Bemes. We have those exact words in the previous parak. That if one of the women is also to one of the brothers by Isur Mitzvah, then we don't say he's mutter and her sister because they're midaraisa, you would be able to do yibum with the one who's in Isur Mitzvah.
What's the difference between our case and
that's what we're asking.
The previous case.
The previous parak, right. No, the previous case we're talking about an actual erva. Previous case in our Mishnah we're talking about Isur Erva.
Right.
Here we're talking about Isur Mitzvah. Isur Mitzvah is Shnius. Shnius. And we said in previous perek, and we seem to be repeating in our perek, that if one of these women is a shnia to one of the brothers, so let's review the case of it here, and here we're not talking about that one of them is his mother-in-law, it's his mother-in-law's mother, let's say. So, or whatever, one of the all the shnias that we had over there. So then we said, we don't say that her sister is allowed to do yibum with him, because midarai say he would be able to do yibum with her shnias, it's only the rabbanan. So then we're still back to that achoyt skukosei problem, because midarai say she would be zakuk to him. And therefore we say chalatas v'leim is yabemes. And we said the same thing in the previous parak. Isur mitzvah v'isur kedusha chalatas v'leim is yabemes. So what are we adding in our Mishnah? The answer is hasam isur mitzvah l'choda. Here you have, in the previous parak, you were only talking about this one brother. Or there's only one woman involved, actually. And you're saying she's also by an isur mitzvah. She's a shnias, so you're saying chalatas v'leim is yabemes. Hacha isur mitzvah v'achoisa. Here you have it, there's a different wrinkle. Here we're talking about that not only you have an Isur Mitzvah, but you also have a sister involved. Salkatai d'chamina leikum Isur Mitzvah b'makam Isur Erva. So in that case, we would say, that now, let's consider. We said before that if we have an Erva and her sister, we say the Erva is out of the picture, therefore the sister can do Yibum. Right, because she's an Erva Midaraisa. How about, why don't we say then, if the Chachamim are considering Isur Mitzvah, a Shnia, to be sort of on the same level as an Erva, let's put her completely on the same level as an Erva. Let's say the one brother can't do Yibum with her, because she's an Isur Mitzvah, therefore let him be able to do Yibum with her sister. We shouldn't call the sister Achoyt Kukase. That's what the Gemara says. Sakat Achamina. Leikum Isur Mitzvah, Makam Isur Erva. Let's consider the Isur Mitzvah as if it was an Isur Erva. V'tisyabim. And then the sister should be able to do Yibum.
Because in the Isur Erva, she can.
Because in the Isur Erva, she would be able to, right. So we should say over here.
If it's more stringent, read the Rabbanan.
Yes. Kamash Malan, that's the Chiddush.
That's
the Chiddush in our Mishnah.
So we keep it.
That we still keep it.
More stringent.
And the question is, Vitis Yavim, maybe Taka, yes, maybe she should be allowed to do Yavim. You're telling me that not. Why Taka? The answer is given to Midaraisa Ramya Kameh, because since Midaraisa, the Shniya would have been suitable for him for Yivum, because only Midrabban and Shizasar, Kapagabachos Kukase. The fact is, that he's still, the problem is, the sister of his Skuka, somebody who's Zakuk to Midaraisa. And therefore it's Asr. Nevertheless, you would still think that Rabbanon do want the mitzvah of Yibum to happen. So maybe in that case, the Chamin will be willing to overlook the usual thing about Achodes Kukasai. Kamash Malan, that's the Chiddush. That Rabbanon are not setting aside either of their Mekanis, neither Shnias. We're considering Shnias as if they're Erva, but not fully Erva. So therefore, her sister is still Achodes Kukasai. We're not going to set aside Achodes Kukasai, even for the purpose of allowing Yibum, and therefore it ends up that you're keeping the Gzeira, and therefore they can only do Chalitza. Now that's the Chiddush of our Mishnah. From the previous Perek, we wouldn't have known any of that. Next, Hoysa Achas Me'an Chola. We said in the Mishnah we have the case where one of them is Osir by an where one of them is Osir by what do we have? The case where one of them is Osir to one, where one of them is Osir to one as an Erva, and the other one is also to the other as an erva.
Two ervas.
This is going to be getting into the case where we had the very complicated diagrams on Tessamad Vase where we were trying to figure out. We have cases where of the two women who are waiting for Yibum, one of them is mutter to one brother and also to the other, uh-huh. And the other one vice versa.
Sorry,
not so. Is mutter to the other brother and also to the first one. We had, for example, one of the more straightforward cases involved. For example, that we had what was it over here? We had two half sisters over here, where you had two half sisters over here from one father. They have two different mothers.
Right.
The two mothers and the two daughters ended up marrying four brothers. So we said, and at the end, what happens is when if two of the brothers die, we say then that Reuven is at that point married to Sarah. He can't do Rachel as an erva to him because that's his wife's daughter.
Right.
That's his wife's daughter. Similarly, Shimon is also to Leah because she's his wife's daughter. But Shimon is perfectly well able to marry Rachel. She's no relation of his.
And she's not
office. She's not anything to him. Okay. Similarly, Leah is mutter to Reuven, and therefore they can cross over like that. Reuven can do Yibum with Leah, Shimon can do Yibum with Rachel, and everything's good.
And what was the question here that we were
The in? Question is that our Mishnah is repeating the same thing. That if one of them is awesome to one and mutter to the other, and the other one vice versa, then each one does Chalit, does Yibum with the one from the other side. Haltu Lovely. So what are we adding by that? Hainu Hach. Mali Lachad, Mali Lachrei. What's the difference whether we're talking about one or no? The mission is not actually asking because those cases we had before, we had them in the Gemara, we didn't have them in the Mishnah. So fine, the Mishnah has to tell us something. Here we're not asking why the Mishnah is repeating itself from a previous Perek. Here we're asking, once we have the case, we said, for example, that one of these two sisters is Reuven's mother-in-law, let's say, and we said, therefore, that she's out of the picture and he's allowed to do Yibum with her sister. Well, obviously, by the same logic, then, if one of them is one's mother-in-law and the other one is the other's mother-in-law, obviously they can cross over and marry each other's sister and marry the other one. What's the problem? Why would we think otherwise?
Why would we think otherwise and repeat it here?
Yeah, repeating in the same Mishnah. What's the difference? Whether you have one brother where one of them is an erva and the other one is mutter, and the other one has the, or you have two where each one of them, one is also one is mutter. The answer is tzricha. Again, going back to what we said before, if we only had one brother, where one of them is also to him and mutter to the other one, and the other one both of them are mutter to him, and therefore both of them end up being also to him for yibum because they're both achoyt kukasai, we would say the very fact that one of them ends up doing chalitza to both of them, or chalitza to one of them at least, whatever, demonstrates that achoyt kukasai is also.
This is the case where we said that one of these women
who's waiting for Yibum or Chalitza is the mother-in-law of one of the surviving brothers. That was the case we had over here. where we said that Rachel and Leah are both zakukos, but we said Rachel is not zakuk to Levi because she's his mother-in-law. So we said then that Levi is allowed to do Yibum with Leah, but Yehuda is not going to be able to do Yibum with either one of them because Achot Sukkasi. The very fact that you have one brother there, Yehuda, who cannot do Yibum with either of them, demonstrates that there is such a thing as Achot Sukkasi. People will realize that. That's called Ikasheni Demuchach. There's a second brother who, because of his situation, that demonstrates the Isra of Achot Sukkasi. But in our case, when we're talking about this crossover business, where each of them is going to be doing yibum with his mother-in-law's sister, let's say, aim alai. So you might say not. And people might not realize that there's a problem of achos kukase. People are not going to realize, you know what, this woman is actually not zakuk because she's his mother-in-law. People are going to think, hey, you know what, you're allowed to do yibum with achos kukase.
They won't take into account that it's the mother-in-law?
Apparently not. It may not necessarily be so obvious. Yeah. The Iyash Me'in and Hacha, conversely, if the Mishnah had only told us the case with the crossover, where with the two brothers, then we would say, Adarabah, Tavayu Mochi Adadi. On the contrary, the very fact that we see that each one is only allowed to, the very fact that each one only has one that he can do Yibum with demonstrates, therefore, that normally we would say Achot Sukkasi, but in this case, we're saying not because they're the mothers-in-law. Aval Idochloi, but in the other case, where there was only one brother, Eimaloi, Aval Idochloi, but in the other case, you might not have realized that, so therefore, Tzricha, so you need both cases in the Mishnah. Then the Mishnah had finished off. Zuhi sha'amru chulu, that this is, the Mishnah had finished off, that this is what we said, that you have a case, achosik, sheyivim to echelat ha'femis yabemis. If you have two sisters who are also yabemis, you have a case where you can do either chalitza or yibum. Because we said, because normally it would be also because achosik kukasa. In this case, where one of them has no zika, because she's a mother-in-law or the daughter-in-law or what have you, then we're saying her sister is allowed to do chalitza or yibum. The question is, Zuhi lam utimai, when the Mishnah is saying Zuhi, this is the case,
as opposed to
what?
Right.
Yeah. The answer is, lam uti isim mitzvah lezeh ve isim mitzvah lezeh. That comes to exclude the case where it wasn't a matter of an erva to each one, where it was a matter of a shniya to each one. Suppose that instead of the two women each being the mother-in-law of the two brothers, suppose it's the mother-in-law's mother, where again we said that's a shniya. And therefore we say, but a shniya doesn't count for this purpose because midaraisa they would be able to marry. Not a mother-in-law's mother actually, because that's a different matter. A daughter-in-law's daughter-in-law, or whatever, all the different cases that we had there in the second parak involving shniyas. So if the two women are also only by iser mitzvah for one of each of the brothers, then we don't say that. Then we say, since midaraisa there would be a zika, because midaraisa they would be able to get married, it's only midrabanan that they can't because of shniyas, therefore, we're still back to the situation if you have a chos kukasa and you can only do chalitza. So that's what the mission is coming to be to exclude by the zuri. And the question is, hotu lavali, so what does the mission need to specify? That hainu hach. That's the same thing as we said before, mali l'chad, mali l'tre. Again, just like we said before, that obviously if one of them is a shniya to one of the brothers, then obviously we say he can only do chalitza with the other one, there's no question about it. What would be the difference? There's two of them. The answer is, mali l'tema, kila amin and uki, isu mitzvah, makam, isu erva. You know when we would say, like we said before, that we're not going to consider the isu mitzvah as if it was an isu erva, to the extent that then we would leave the shniya out of the picture and allow you to do yibum with chalitza, or you allow you to do yibum with the sister. When would we say that? Heicha de'ikla migzum mishum sheni. Where there's a second brother who we might confuse the issue, and therefore there's a reason to be goyzer. Where we said before, we have the case. One of them is a shniya to one brother. The other one is not anything. She's not anything. Neither of them is anything to the other brother. So then you might have then you might have an issue. You might say then, fine. In that case, you're not going to allow the brother. You're not going to allow the brother with the shniya to do yibum with the sister of the shniya because people are going to think then that the people are not going to realize there is the other brother. They're not going to realize the whole problem of achot kukasei.
But for the other brother,
but in this case, there's no reason to be goyzer because of the sheni, because each brother has a shniya. Each brother, one of these women, is a shniya to him. They're both in the same boat. Aim aloy. So you might have. In that case, then maybe in that case, we should consider the Shnia as if she was a real Erva, and therefore put her out of the picture and say that her sister, which happens to be the other one, Shnia, can do Yibum with the first one. Let's still allow that crossover. The same way as we would allow that crossover if they were Erva Sterdaisa. In this case, since there's two brothers who are both in the same boat, and so neither one, is there a possibility that anybody's going to think that there's that you're allowed Achoyt Skokosei, then maybe we should relax. Maybe we should allow the Shnia to be considered as if it was an Erva, and therefore there's no Achoyt Skokosei. That's the chiddush. V'le yavu, and therefore there should be a yavum. Kamash malon, that we don't do that, even in this case. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, v'chein toni Rav Chiya. This we have in the first parak. B'chulan ani kora behen ha'asur l'zem u'tres l'zeh. In all of the 15 cases that we had in all of the cases that we had in the first Mishnah of the Masechta, all the Chamesh Esrei Nashim that we said Poitras started saying, etc., in all of them you can construct a case where you have two women who one of them is Osir to one and the other one but Mutter to his brother, and vice versa. In each of these cases you can have that. And you can also
cases of the 15.
Well, wait, we're gonna see whether it applies to all the 15 or not. And that we say that in that case, that even though the two sisters are also sisters-in-law, and normally we would say achos kukosei, but in this case, since one of them is an erva to one and the other one is an erva to the other, then each one will be able to do yibum with the sister of the erva. You can find that in all the cases. Now, for Rabbi Yehuda, matagim achamoyt ve'elach. So we said that. This is basically a recap of what we had on Daf Tes. And there Rashi had gone through all the 15 examples and shown illustrations of each one. That was actually one of the days when I was away. Rabbi Yehuda matagim achamoyt ve'elach. Rabbi Yehuda explains that, no, this is not referring to all 15 cases of that original Mishnah. It's only referring to the last 9 cases, beginning from the mother-in-law. But he says this that Reb Chiya is saying that in all these cases you have, there's a possible case where Asur Lozem returns Lozem and vice versa. It does not apply to the first 6 cases of the Mishnah. The first 6 cases of the Mishnah were all cases involving the first 6 cases were daughter, daughter's daughter, son's daughter, wife's and wife's granddaughter from either her son or her daughter. The last 9 cases were various other ones: sisters-in-law, mothers-in-law, daughters-in-law, etc. Rabbi Yehuda said that this rule of Rabbi Chiya only applies to the last 9 cases. He says it does not apply to the first 6 cases. My time, because how could you possibly have the case of a sister, not a sister, of a daughter? How could you have two daughters where one of them is mutter to one and also to the other and vice versa? You would have to have, here's the scenario. You have two daughters of Sarah from two different men, Reuben and Shimon, who are brothers.
You have
four brothers, Reuben, Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda.
Right.
Reuben and Shimon both, let's start thinking a second. Let's suppose that these were legitimate marriages, that Reuben first was married to Sarah and then Shimon was. The problem is like this. The problem is the only way that we can have that we could have a case where Rachel is mutter, let's put it this way. The problem is like this: if Reuben was actually married to Sarah at any time,
right,
then both of these girls are also to him, one because she's his daughter and one because she's his wife's daughter. Similarly with Shimon, both of them are going to be also to him. One's his daughter, one's his wife's daughter. In that case, if those daughters end up marrying Levi and Yehuda, which fine, they can do, later on, there's no way that you can say that one of these women is mutter to Reuben and also to Shimon and vice versa. Both of them are also to both of them. The only way you could have that scenario happen is if there was no marriage involved, if Reuben and Shimon both raped Sarah. or seduced her or whatever, if it was outside of marriage, then Reuben's daughter is obviously also to him, because it doesn't matter, a person's daughter is also to him whether it was for marriage or not, but Sarah is not his wife. Therefore, Leah is not his wife's daughter. She's mutter to him. Similarly with Shimon and Rachel. So only in that case, but in order to have that, you have to have, there can't have been marriages over here. You can't have had that Reuben and Shimon were ever legally married to Sarah, because otherwise the whole thing doesn't work. And similarly with all the other five cases at the beginning of the Mishnah. So because of that, Rav Yehuda said, this rule of Rav Chia, we would rather assume that this rule of Rav Chia, etc., is only talking about cases where the women were born from actual marriages, from actual legal marriages.
But we say we cannot be.
Therefore, he says that this rule of Rav Chia only applies to the other cases in the Mishnah. It does not apply to any of the cases involving daughters or granddaughters.
To include it in legal marriages.
Because we're only, Rav Chia's rule only applies to cases that originally stem from legal marriages.
And if it's legal marriages, it has to apply from granddaughters.
No, so then there's no way to make this work with daughters or granddaughters.
Right.
So therefore, Rav Chia is saying that the case, that what our Mishnah is saying, that you can have a case that a choyse kshi yivimta chaletza semisyabemis, that you have two sisters that are both up chalitza or yibum, and each one is allowed to do yibum with the one who is not her close relative, who is not an heir to her. That only works for it could work for any of the cases in the Mishnah. But if you want to make it work for the first six cases in the first Mishnah of the Masechta, you can only do it by positing that these two sisters, that Chalitza Kriyavamis, were born from rapes. Since you don't want to assume that, then therefore Rav Chia's principle only applies to the last nine cases. Because you can't have a case where these women who are daughters or his wife's daughters can possibly be mutter if they were ever married. It can only happen from rape. We assume that Rav Chia is only talking about cases that involve marriage. Abaya says that no, actually, it could even be talking about the case of the daughter. Because it could be talking about the daughter. Because, fine, it will have involved an onus. It will have involved rape. The fact is, you can have such a case. Okay, if it has to be, the only way you can construct such a case is that it involved rape, so two of them actually. Okay, but the case still exists. Abel, Ishis, Achav, Shalahay, Ba'alamay, Loi. But Abaya would say that instead, I'm going to exclude a different case of the Mishnah from Rav Chia's principle. The 14th case of the Mishnah, Eisha Sachem Shalaya by Lamai, where we said a new brother was born after one of the previous original brother passed away. Kiven alibedir Shimon hu d'mashkachasla, alibedir Abanon lo mashkachasla, because that could only work according to the Shimon, not according to the Abanon. V'plugta lo kamayri. And the Mishnah, we talked about in the first paragraph, because we want to say that the Mishnah, the first Mishnah of the Masechta, is not talking about cases that involve machloikas. Namely, what do we mean by that? We learned a couple of times that Reb Shimon makes a distinction. When are you allowed, that sometimes the Eishes Achav Shalahayu Bar Lamai is allowed to do Yibum, if he was born after one of the other brothers had already done Yibum. So only according to Reb Shimon, do you have a case then where this woman is mutter to one brother and also to another?
If she was born after.
So we have the case before, and the Gemara is going to present it again. The Gemara is going to present it again soon. That you have a case where different brothers were born at different times, where therefore you wind up that this woman is mutter to some of them and also to others of them, because some of them were born before the Yibum and some of them were born after the Yibum. The Gemara will soon spell out the details, although by now at this point we'll have to leave it for tomorrow, I guess. But all that only works according to Reb Shimon. According to the Chachamim, any of the ones that were born after Reuben died, his wife is forever also to them, no matter whether Yibum was born before it was done before they were born or not. So the Eishes Achav Shalahayu Bar Lamai, according to the Chachamim, there's no way that you can say Hasur L'Zem with Teres L'Zem. There's no way that you can have a woman who is also to some of the brothers and Mutter to some of the others. Yeah. And we'll leave Rav Safra, who holds that you can construct that case according to Reb Shimon, we'll leave that for tomorrow.